morning. It is good to be with you again this morning to share God's Word, to open God's Word with you, and to just worship with you again this morning. Our passage will be from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and we will read that shortly if you have it in your pew Bibles, or the words will be on the screen as well. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time, it seems, where everything is measured for progress. We have apps on our phone, we have watches on our wrists which can tell us everything about our day's activities, about our exercise, how many steps we may take in a day, how far we walk, how quickly we get places. They can tell us how much we sleep and even how well we sleep. When we enter into elections, we have polls that come out each and every day telling us how good a political party is doing. Our economy is constantly measured for progress. In cars and in trucks, they're measured for fuel economy. In my wife's car, I always like to drive with the window down a little bit, let some fresh air in. In my wife's car, whenever I'm driving it, the car tells me to close the window for the sake of fuel economy. And I won't tell you from up here what I say back to the car when it tells me to close the window. But semi-trucks can do total printouts and give a company the exact specs of how a driver is driving, how fast they go, where they go, the fuel economy of that driver. And even tractors today will map out a field, they'll test the soil and tell you how much fertilizer to put on certain sections of the soil. Everything today seems to be measured to epitomize productivity and progress. However, when it comes to our faith, that which is really the most important thing in life, we often spend very little time reflecting on how we are growing. When was the last time you maybe asked yourself, how are you growing in your faith? Or more particularly, using the language of the Bible, how am I maturing over time in my faith? Well, this morning we're going to reflect on this idea of what it means, or what are the words or the metrics that Scripture gives us to reflect on how it is that we are growing or maturing in our faith. And if there's one book in the Bible, especially the New Testament, which speaks to this idea of maturing in our faith, it is the book of Colossians, written by the Apostle Paul. And if there's one passage within that book that kind of summarizes the whole letter, it is the passage we are going to read now, which is Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7. And this is what it says. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." This is the word of the Lord. To be mature believers in Christ really begins with getting first things first. Our passage begins with these words in Colossians 2, verse 6. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord." There's a hard truth in life we all need to come to and admit, and that is that we all worship, we all serve something or someone. Something is Lord of our life. We are not nearly as in control of our life or influences as we think we are. Like the Old Testament people, we actually all have many idols, many gods in our life, things that we follow. They just look quite a bit different. Today, these gods, these lords might look like technology or our phone when we think of how much time we spend on it. They might be control or power. Maybe they are prestige in our workplace. As we get older, maybe our lord becomes our health or our security. When we're younger, maybe it's our social media influence or presence, or maybe it's politics, or maybe it's even fear. There are so many things within life today that distract us. There are so many temptations in which we can find our identity in. But if we want to be mature believers in Christ, we need to get first things first. And that is the lordship of Jesus. And as Christians, we may think this sounds easy, but it actually, I have found, is the most difficult step. Now, Colossians tells us two very specific things about the lordship of Jesus, and this begins in chapter 1. In chapter 1:15, Paul writes, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Jesus is God, and he is the creator. Jesus is the incarnation. He is the physical manifestation of God. The Father and the Son are one. It says in John 1, verses 1 through 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." Jesus is that Word. Jesus, the man, the historical figure who walked the dusty roads of the Middle East, who sat in boats, who fished for his food, who ate stale bread and drank good wine, he is the creator of all. He's the creator of all that we see and we feel and we touch. Again, in Colossians 1, verses 15 and 17, it says, "For in him, Jesus, all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." However, not only is he the creator, but he is also the redeemer, or the recreator. Colossians 1:18. "He is also the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead." Jesus is the beginning of creation, but he is also the beginning of new creation. He is the firstborn over all creation, but he is also the firstborn from among the dead. This idea of being firstborn means this is not just for him, but it's something he desires to share with us, which is his kingdom. He invites us to participate in it. Just as being born into this world, we're invited to participate in creation, so too are we invited to participate in the new kingdom, the new creation. Colossians 3:3-4 says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Jesus has gone first through death into new life, and he invites us already in this world to be baptized into his death so that we can be raised anew to new life. You see, to receive Jesus as Lord, we are called to die to ourselves and to be born anew in him. But the crux of this is, are we actually willing to receive this Jesus as Lord? Are we actually willing to die to ourselves, to die to our many lords, to die to our many gods, to be raised anew in him? For the truth is, in Christ, we are not lords. The world is not Lord, but Jesus is Lord over all. And yet so often we shove this reality into the background and we make the secondary things of life, the secondary things of this world, money and power and control, we make those things the main thing. Or we make things of the church, theology and doctrine and worship and pastors the main thing. But we need to come back to the true cornerstone of life, which is Jesus Christ. For you see, that which is Lord of our life will then set the direction for what and how we mature. Whatever is Lord of our heart sets the course for everything else in life. And Paul knows this. He writes in Colossians 2, verse 6, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Now, when the passage says "live your lives in him," in the Greek, Paul is literally writing the word "walk." Just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, walk in him. The first part of this passage is the truth. You received Christ Jesus as Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the second part is the command, now walk. Within human nature, and also as Paul writes, there is no hiatus, there is no break between believing and behaving, if you will. Where our treasure is, That is where our heart is, and that is where our legs will take us. And Paul then really gives us then three pieces of imagery to guide, to kind of give us the metrics on this walk of maturing in our faith. And these three images are, he says, be rooted like a tree, be built up like a house, and be strengthened like the law. First, Paul writes, be rooted in Christ. Now, of course, back when the Bible was written, everyone was kind of a farmer or a gardener. Everyone knew the importance of good roots. This is why the Bible is full of a kind of organic imagery. Back even in Psalm 1, David writes, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. This is imagery of a tree that has deep, deep roots planted near a stream of water. And it's from that stream, from that living stream, that it pulls up its water and its nutrients for life. It is only because of a root system that a tree can really produce anything. About a year and a half ago, my wife Carrie and I, we moved into the house where we're living. And it has a beautiful backyard. It's not a big backyard, but it's kind of a little haven for us. But when we moved into that house, and if you're really into gardening, you can plug your ears, it had two grapevines. And personally, I have no use for grapevines. And they were very unwieldy. They were kind of growing under the siding of our shed. They were growing through the eaves and getting under the shingles of the roof. And so at the end of last summer, we got out the shears and we just cut that thing all the way down to little stumps like that. And I was hoping over the winter there would be enough rain and moisture that those stumps would kind of start molding and it would take out and kill the roots. Well, of course, that didn't happen. And so this spring, sure enough, huge shoots started coming out of these two little stumps of the vine. And so one day I got angry at it and I was cutting the lawn and I just went right over it with the lawnmower just to try and kill it again. And sure enough, a week later, it started coming up with shoots again. Well, unfortunately, I couldn't get to it for a number of weeks. I was busy, and then, you know, I came home one day, and sure enough, those vines were like this tall again. So I cut them, and again, if you're an environmentalist, don't listen to this part, but a whole bunch of Roundup, and I just poured the Roundup right on to those two stumps. And Roundup is not what it used to be, because sure enough, a month later, there's these green shoots again. And so finally, I had the time and the strength. I got the pick out, I got the shovel out, and I fully unearthed the roots of those vines. So far, they haven't come back yet. See, when properly rooted, it's almost impossible to kill a tree or a plant. And the same we could say about our faith. But where are we rooted? What is it that is influencing, that is feeding our life and our spirit? Even Jesus talks about this reality in John 15:5, where he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, to grow in maturity of faith, we need to be rooted in the right stuff, rooted in Christ Jesus himself. Without proper roots, we will only become deformed in our faith, hurting ourselves, and quite often and most likely hurting others. The second imagery that Paul gives us is to be built up like a house, to be built up in Christ. You see, just as we are all rooted and being fed by something, so too we are all building something in our life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, you are God's field, you are God's building. Each of you should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? You see, we are all building something in life. And even if it feels that you're at a stage in life, maybe the kids are in school, and it feels like the years are just slipping by, it's incredibly important to be aware of what you are building during this time. Are we building up in holiness and righteousness? Are we building our lives and our families and our careers in Christ? Or are we just building for something for this world? Are we just building for ourselves or for our family or for prestige or for money? Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 20, he says, "But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." We are all called to build. We're all called to build homes and family and jobs and careers. These are all very good things. But are we building them up in Christ? Not losing our perspective for why we do what we do. And the third imagery Paul gives us is to be strengthened in Christ, to be strengthened like that law. In Greek, the word strengthened actually has this kind of legal connotations. What Paul is saying is we need to be as confirmed and established and binding as a legal document within our faith. Now, this doesn't mean removing all doubt. It doesn't mean being dogmatic in our stance. It doesn't mean being unwilling to listen to others. In fact, quite often, strengthening might actually begin with questioning and with listening. Questioning, where are we? What are we building? What is it that is feeding me? Am I on the right track? Testing and retesting the spirits, as the Apostle John says. Colossians 1, verses 23 and 10, Paul gets at this in more detail when he says, "Be established and firm. Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." For me, the imagery that kind of comes to mind here is the image of steel or iron entering into the fire to be refined. For metals to be hardened, they have to go through incredible temperatures to be formed and shaped and to remove all the impurities from them so that they can handle the weight and the stress that will be placed on them. The biblical word kind of for this that I love is that word to be steadfast. We are called to endure within our faith in the face of opposition and hardship. We're called to endure in the face of very boring times as well. We need to choose to persevere in the hope of the gospel. Now, there's an interesting thing kind of happening within these three words that Paul gives us. There's three markers for kind of becoming aware of how we mature within our faith, of being rooted, built up, and strengthened. And that is, within the Greek, the word for rooted has this tense, has this idea of being once and for all. It's a once and for all thing. Whereas the words built up and strengthened have this tense, this idea of being continual. We need to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Everything in our faith is built on our roots in Christ. Our rootedness begins within our baptism. We are rooted in our profession of faith, in our personal relationship with Jesus. But being built up and strengthened is always continuous. And I believe there's two reasons for this. One is that our learning and our growing in the Spirit is never done. I remember visiting with my grandma just months before she passed away, and she was telling me still then about new awarenesses she was having about Jesus, about new discoveries she was having about her personal relationship with Jesus. In the couple months before my opa passed away, he started using the word meditating and saying that he was meditating more on the scriptures, a word that I don't think he ever used in his entire life until his last months. We are always called to be learning and growing, no matter our age. But the second reason that the idea of building and strengthening is continuous is because, as many of us or all of us know, we live in a very broken world. And sometimes life simply blows up. Sometimes what we are building is torn down. Sometimes the center can't hold. That sometimes things happen in life which cause us to have to start over and to rebuild. That sometimes, no matter how strong or how well we have built, no matter how strong we have built, sometimes our knees are taken out from under us. As many of you know, 4.5 years ago, I lost my wife to cancer. There are things that happen in life that nothing can prepare us for, even when we see them coming. An image I often used during that time to describe myself is I felt like I was a bombed-out building. The building you may see on the news in Gaza or in Ukraine, where half the building is just gone and torn down. And for the rest of the building, you can just kind of see straight through each and every floor as there's nothing there. And there's concrete just hanging down from rebar. And there's wires and plumbing just sticking out into the open air. And there's just papers fluttering around in the silence. For me, this is why I resigned back then from being a pastor. Because not only was I emotionally and physically unable to carry on at this time, but I also knew that if God was going to rebuild that faith within me, that it would be very, very different. That life and faith were never going to be the same, but that building was going to look different. I would never be the same person again. Sometimes things happen in life which change us forever. The roots stay the same. Jesus Christ, His grace, His love, His mercy, His desires to sit with us in the ashes of our life, of our faith. The roots are never changing. They are our comfort, and sometimes it's often all that's left. But what Christ builds is always continuous, forming and reforming continually in Him, often out of our brokenness. You see, our walk of faith, our maturing, is not always a straight linear line. It's not always from point A to point B, but sometimes it goes up, and sometimes it goes down, and sometimes it just goes all over the place, and sometimes it comes to a total halt, and we're knocked right off our heels. But the good news is that God is always forming and creating and reforming and recreating. This is the strength of our Reformed tradition, that we dig our roots deep in Him and He will never let us go. That Jesus Christ is Lord, that His grace and His love are ever present. This doesn't mean that we get a free pass from the wrestling and the suffering and the challenges of this world, but it reminds us that the circumstances of our life are not our Lord. The hardships of our life are not our Lord, and the world we live in is not our Lord. But the one who created all and who redeems all, He is the Lord, and He is always working continually as we are rooted in Him. For you see, when we open ourselves up to receive this work of Christ, of our Creator and Recreator, of the firstborn of creation and the firstborn from among the dead, then the final phrase of our passage can come to fruition, where Paul writes, "Continue to live your lives in Him, overflowing with thankfulness." For you see, thankfulness, gratitude, is the hallmark of a life that is maturing in Christ. When we receive Jesus as Lord of our life, built up, rooted, and strengthened in Him, then gratitude ought to define us as people living in Him. But again, this is not a gratitude that is based on ourselves. It is not a gratitude based on our current circumstances necessarily. But it is a gratitude that is based in the greatest work that Christ has done for us, which is His work of reconciliation. Colossians 1:13 and 21 says, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Once you were alienated from God, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. And 2 Corinthians 6 says, this is all from God, all who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Jesus has reconciled us to himself so that in the eyes of God, we are already holy and sacred. And it is out of this work of reconciliation, out of this gratitude we have to Jesus for this reconciliation, that then also our call, the ministry of reconciliation that we have received, pours out of us to others. And as we've already prayed and talked about this morning, we are especially mindful of that this week, and especially on Tuesday with the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, that the awareness, the remembrance, the education that we go through on this day of our Indigenous community, our Indigenous neighbors, the crimes committed against them, that this awareness and remembrance does not come primarily out of a call from our government. It does not come primarily out of shame or guilt, though we accept these things, we confess through association as citizens of this country and members of this world, we accept the guilt, the sins committed against our Indigenous neighbors, but primarily our awareness and remembrance and education comes through Christ's reconciliation to us. That as we are reconciled to Christ, so too we share and we show reconciliation to our neighbors. We participate in reconciliation with our neighbors. We enter into the work of reconciliation with humility, in sacredness, with respect, but we enter into it as a response to a call. That as we are reconciled ourselves to God, so too we are called to be reconciled to each other, which especially during this time includes the Indigenous people of this land. This is work that we should have been doing long before our government called us to it, for we are called to it by Christ. Brothers and sisters, maturing in our faith is really all about seeing that life is not so much about us, but it is all about Jesus. Being rooted in him, being built up in him, and being strengthened in our faith in him. These are the markers to help us reflect on how we grow and mature within our faith. And of course, the hallmark of maturing in our faith, living lives of gratitude. Gratitude for Christ's work of reconciliation through the cross, and because of that, accepting the ministry of reconciliation to those around us. Brothers and sisters, may the cornerstone of all of our lives be Jesus Christ, him and him alone. And may we always walk in him, rooted in him, built up and strengthened in the faith that we have been taught, and overflowing with thankfulness for his incredible work on the cross that he also then invites us into. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that you are Lord of all, that you are Lord of creation, that you are Lord of the new creation you invite us into. And yet we confess that so often we forget this and we chase false gods, many gods and many idols within our world today. Lord Jesus, remind us of who you are. And may, over time, may you form our faith always in you. Help us to be ever more rooted in you. Help us to always be formed in you, be built up and strengthened within your word and within your faith. We thank you, Jesus, for your work of reconciling us through the cross. And may each of us live then lives of gratitude, to be defined by gratitude within our life, and then to offer that reconciliation to others, to be reconciled to our neighbors. And especially this week, we reflect on being reconciled with our indigenous neighbors, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your work on the cross. We thank you that you call us your children. In your name we ask this all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Willoughby Church Sermon Podcast. The Willoughby Church Podcast Network also has podcasts about discipleship, the Heidelberg Catechism, and even a podcast hosted by some of the youth. You can find out more about the Willoughby Church Podcast Network by going to willoughbychurch.com.